God's house.
In God's house.
Awesome. There is treasure in God's house. Yes. Fantastic. Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew 6, For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love that. Where my treasure is, that is where my heart is. Have you recently asked yourself, where is my treasure? Where is your treasure? You know, your treasure is something that captivates you, that you invest into. You defend it at all costs because it's important to you. A great example of this is Jesus. Jesus died and rose again and went through everything he has gone through, now living in victory because you and I, we are his treasure. So he laid his life down, gave his all for you and I because we are his treasure. So I wonder, what's your treasure this morning? What's important to you? Perhaps it's your health, your relationship with God, your marriage, your family, a particular person in your world. What about your freedom or your prosperity? Or is it the purposes of heaven? All these things are worthy treasures. They're valuable treasures to have in our world. But the thing that we need to make sure about is that we know where our treasure is.
That's right, yeah.
Where our heart is, because that's how we conduct our life. By knowing where our treasure lies, we set our lives up automatically towards that thing. And so knowing where your treasure is extremely important. It's actually a really easy way to find out. It's a simple question. Where's your heart drawn to? Where's your heart drawn to? Because that's where your treasure is. I know in my life, I'm a tradesman, and God holds me very dearly to himself. When he formed me, created me, he made me a tent maker and lined me straight up with the Bible. And I love that. But I'm a tradesman, and I have been for over 18 years. I now work at the church. But I know every day doing my apprenticeship and going to work every day, and I wanted to honor where God has placed me. So I always worked hard and to honor my boss and the wage they give me in their business to see it fruitful. But truly, my heart was always in the house of God. And I know for me, I live and have lived with this massive tension in my world. And it's a great tension. There's no problem with it. But as Christians, we work and we live away. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, are we, church? Because our passion, our heart, our treasure is in the kingdom of God. It's in heavenly purposes. And I love that, lining ourselves up with the purposes of heaven. So where is your treasure? Where is your heart? I love this quote from Pastor Mark. He says, with all treasure, you need to defend it and fight for it. If there is treasure, there will also be treasure pirates. They will come to steal what's valuable to you. I like that. There's treasure pirates. And a pirate that I think we all have and I've identified in my world is the pirate of I've been practicing this word all week. Familiarity. Yeah, that'll do it. Holy Spirit, give the church interpretation today so they understand the word. Often we don't realize it, but the exciting things, the important things in our world can become ordinary or normal.
Yeah.
Even annoying sometimes. And I've got a great example of this. If you're married in the house, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're Ryan in the house and you're still single, you know, you've got something amazing to look forward to here today. But, you know, remember the time when you fell in love before you're married, and that girl, the amazing woman that just loved you beyond all else, gave you massages all the time. Not for any purpose, but just because she loved you. And I'm just moving over this side just for a moment. Because she just loved you. And then a few years went by, you got married, and the dream was still there, and you got these weekly or daily massages. Even for me, it was almost hourly massages. And then the first year went by, and you sort of only just got a massage when you had a headache, which is fine because love goes both ways, and I don't want to completely put out, you know, by me. And second year, you get a massage just when you've got a headache. And then the third year comes around and you seem to go to the Panadol and the Nurofen before you ask your wife for a massage to take your headache away. And then the fourth year comes around and you'd rather pay for a neck and shoulders in the shopping center after, you know, lunchtime after work. And, you know, we get familiar in our environments, don't we, sometimes? And once I was the apple of her eye. Once I was the dream that she would have every night and wake up to. And but these days it's all familiar, and I'm just there consistently. But you know, we have a great marriage. I love my wife, Church, and we don't have many problems in our marriage. Just this one. But familiarity is a treasure. Pirate,
yeah,
you know, and I wonder in your world, can you identify maybe in your family, in your house, you know, maybe it's your kids, you know, the treasure from God. Remember the day they were first born, but now it's just hard to find 5 minutes just to sit down and play with them. You know, we're familiar with what we have, or maybe it's your spouse, you know, you are once you just were so in love, but now it's just familiar. They should do this and they should do that. And we don't value what they bring to that relationship anymore like we used to. You know, maybe for you, it's the house of God. You know, maybe we're familiar with the house, with the church. Has familiarity taken away the value of welcoming new people into the house?
Wow.
You know, are we just familiar with what we do and the processes and the run sheets that we have, and we no longer value that part of the service? You know, is it just a hassle now when we have communion in the service? You know, have we lost the value and the beautiful passion that we have with communion? You know, what about when the altar call comes around at the end of the service? Are we just thinking, well, the service is almost finished, can't wait to get out and get an amazing coffee this morning? You know, have we lost the value of what we're doing in the altar call? Is it now becoming just mundane to us? You know, church, let's keep placing value and honor on the important things.
So good.
You know, let's keep them as our treasure in our world. Continue to find worth in these things that really matter. You with me?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, as Christians, I believe our greatest treasure is and reward is the kingdom of God. You know, the purposes of heaven. You know, which is above all else for us as Christians. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I like this because it says seek first, not second, not third, not last. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything else will be added. It'll be added to us. Make the kingdom of God and his righteousness your treasure this morning, and all things will be added. You know, the kingdom of God works on the attraction principle. I like this. Fellas, bit of deodorant, good smile, learn how to speak well and conduct yourself and know the words before you say them, like familiarity, and be attractive. Attract somebody into your world. We need to attract things. We attract people. We don't need to chase them down. We attract them. We attract money. There's no need to chase after money. The Bible says that God will give seed to a sower. So as we are generous, we attract the heavens, the windows of heavens to open and blessing on our world. We don't chase money. As Christians, we attract it through our generosity. What about attracting the goals that you have? Instead of chasing down those goals, submit them before God. Live a life with principles and values that honor the Lord, because he will bless you abundantly and you will see these amazing things, these goals in your life be fulfilled. Psalms 92 says in verse 13, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age." I like that. "And thou shall be fresh and flourishing." I like that. You know, the blessing and all the things come from being planted in the house of God. Not chasing them down, but being planted, being committed, having your roots down deep in the purposes of God. There is a great blessing and reward in being about God's business and being planted in his house. You know, at the end of the day, God's coming back for one thing, isn't he? He's coming back for his bride, for the church, for you and I. He's coming back just for one thing. I don't believe that you can love God and not love his church. I truly don't think you can love God and not love his bride. You and I, the person sitting next to you, the others that are about to come in, they don't know yet, but God's calling them. You know, we love them above all else because God is coming back for his bride. That's where our treasure, that's where our heart must be as the children of God. Our treasure is found when we are planted in God's house, because that's where we find His treasure, His great reward. Amen? I just want to break down four different levels of the Christian walk for you guys this morning. And it's from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says this: command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good work, ready to give, willing to share. Verse 19, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Four different levels we're going to look at this morning for the Christian experience, for the Christian journey that we're all on. Level one, God gives us all things to enjoy. God gives us, now I had a revelation of this probably 10 years ago. But I've grown up in church, and I've seen that not all Christians enjoy being Christian.
Yeah.
they believe in God, so therefore they give their hearts to Him. But being a Christian hasn't been the most enjoyable journey. And we all know, as Christians, don't we, that being a Christian isn't for wusses. This is like roots down sort of stuff, being a pillar in the house, and let's march with power and authority. This is a real journey for us as Christians on planet Earth. But who also knows that we have the power of God inside of us?
Yeah.
We have the anointing and the authority that the Holy Spirit gives us, that we are gifted beyond all else, and that God wants to use us to do amazing things.
Yeah.
And as we see, as we come together as the church, in everything we are, we can impact communities and nations for God, as we've seen in Cambodia. So being a Christian isn't always simple. But God gives us all things to enjoy.
Right.
And when I had this revelation, it changed my world, because I started to find joy. In fact, to be honest, I had to search it out. But I did. I started to search out joy in serving, in being committed Sunday after Sunday, being here early week after week when everyone else is in bed, practicing Saturday nights when people are at parties. And I changed my mindset and started to count it as a joy. And when I did that, my whole Christian walk changed.
Yeah.
And going to work as a tradesman, speaking to people about God and working hard, became a joy to me, because of the purpose and the reason of why I was doing those things was to see God glorified. Amen? And so let's enjoy our Christian journey. Let's not be enduring our Christian journey. Let's bring joy to it. You know, the more you place value on it, the more you'll find that you enjoy it.
That's right.
The more we place value on the call of God in your, the more you place value on your own life, the more you're going to enjoy the life you've been given.
Yeah.
Let's place value on who we are, because you're a child of God.
That's right.
Somebody here this morning, you need to hear that you are chosen by God. And God is just calling you to choose Him. Like the stories we hear about, you know, with Israel, the chosen generation. Yeah, they were chosen, but they were also a choosing generation. Choosing the ways of God, and God using them in a powerful way. God loves you so much, and He's got a call and a purpose for your life. Let's align them with the purposes of God this morning. Amen. The second level that I want us to look at is, let them do good. The scripture in 1 Timothy says, let them do good. Let's be someone else's answer.
Yeah.
You know, often we are always looking for answers in our world, aren't we? We're always looking for reasons and purposes and, you know, I just need an answer from God. But have you ever thought that God's made you the answer for someone else?
That's right.
And in fulfilling that, being the answer for someone else, you'll find the fulfillment that you were looking for,
awesome.
Yeah. That you were asking for. I think serving and helping is a lot of fun.
That's right.
I think it's the best thing that life can give.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus never said, go and make spectators of all the nations.
No, that's right.
But what He did say is, go and make disciples of all the nations. So let's get involved and be discipled as we disciple others on the serving journey. Amen. You know, between weekend services, youth ministry, what about our new seniors program that's up and going right now? The She Rescue Home, Red Frogs, our kids program, our praise and worship team, our tech team, our pastoral care, our life groups, and our business areas in the church. It's easy for us to be involved in something and find the richness that God has for your life.
Yeah.
God gives us all things to enjoy, and we are to do good. Amen?
Yeah.
So the third level as well from 1 Timothy is being ready to give. Being ready to give. I really like that. Being ready to give. Being ready to give means you've purposed to give beforehand. To be ready, you must be purposed to give beforehand. In my world, I always make sure I'm ready to give. And I hear a conversation, I'm going to give into that. If I hear someone in need, I can give into that. I'm always ready to give. And I believe that as a church, we must be ready to be generous all the time, whether it's our finances or whether it's our time. You know, I love seeing some people I see all the time, people in this very church, giving up their time to help out other people.
Yeah.
And some people in this church, I was just thinking last week, I was blown away that somebody asked them to do something and they didn't even think about it and they said yes.
Yeah.
And they went and helped out something. They're ready to give, being ready to give.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture says, command those who are rich. Not command people not to be rich. But command those who already are rich. Did you know this morning, church, that you're rich?
Yeah.
Did you know that you're rich in the blessings of God and the call of God and the anointing that He has in provision for you in the life as you work out your faith? You know, we are rich. It says, command those who are rich. You know, we're not to trust in riches, but to trust in God. But we're to understand that we are a people full of riches.
Yeah.
So we don't trust in riches. We don't set out to achieve riches. We attract riches when we know that God has made us rich already. Does that make sense this morning?
Yeah.
There's a voice when we are generous.
Yeah,
did you know that? There's a voice. You have a voice. And our faith, love, hope offering this morning, it speaks out, it yells out to people's lives, it yells out into our community, it yells out to the nations like Cambodia. This is what it says. To the trafficked child, it says, you are loved.
Yeah.
To the drug addicted, you have a future. To the poor and the neglected, we can help. To the lost, you can be found.
Yes.
To the region of Moreton Bay, the church and God is alive and He loves you. That's what generosity.
Yeah,
generosity has a voice.
Yeah,
how powerful is that? You know, when we are generous people, we have a voice into someone's world.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered, you know, or prayed, God, give me the words to say or give me the opportunity to be able to speak into someone's world? Generosity opens the pathway for you to speak into someone's world.
That's awesome.
Did we realize that? That's from the scriptures, church.
Yeah.
Generosity opens the windows of heaven. It's the Holy Spirit moves. You know, the Bible talks about how we are to pray that the Holy Spirit will draw people to the Father. And when I studied this scripture out, I got a revelation because I grew up in a church that used to do exactly that. Rather than going out and living the gospel, we used to pray the Holy Spirit, and we used to say things you know, just make way for ourselves. And we used to say things like, well, when the Holy Spirit's ready, He'll draw people to the church. Or, you know, we just need to pray more. We don't pray enough, and that's why the church isn't growing. And we used to say things like this, but I had the revelation one day that God wants to use me to speak the Word of God into somebody's world. And when the Word of God is spoken, there is life, there is power, and there is authority on the Word that God uses me to speak. And when that word goes out and somebody else hears, the Holy Spirit uses that word, touches their life, and draws them towards the Father in heaven. God wants to use you and I as the mouthpiece that brings heaven down to earth. And without you, we can't do what the church is set out to do. Without you, we aren't one. We aren't full. We aren't complete. Without you being a pillar in the church, standing up and being the voice piece, letting the gospel go out. When we are generous by sacrificing ourselves, our insecurities, the things that hold us back, it could be our finances, it could be us being up here on platforms speaking in front of people, whatever it is for you. When we are generous and we say, God, mold me, shape me, change me, break me, do whatever on earth you need to do, because I choose to be generous, sharing the gospel, proclaiming the name of Jesus, helping out a brother or a sister, you know, doing a mural for them or painting their guitar, whatever it might be, as I step out in generosity, God, you're going to do amazing things, because generosity paves the way for us. Giving gives us a say into our generation. It's powerful and it's influential.
Yeah.
That's what giving does. Today, church, I have so strongly in my heart. For us today, when we give, this is not about money. You know, God does not need money. He is the, you know, He's the provider of all things. Today is about us making a stand in ourselves and in the church.
Yeah.
And saying, with all that I am, even the treasure in my wallet that I need just to pay my bills to get through the week. Everything I am, I trust to you today, God. And I'm going to pledge it, I'm going to put it forward, and I'm going to make a stand that my life is governed by the Lord God Almighty. Not by circumstance, not by my boss, not by my abilities, but by the provider in heaven that is going to open the windows and pour out blessing upon our lives. Today, as we pledge and as we come up to this cross, this isn't just about your prayer request alone, and it's not just about your money. It's about the church all across City Point, all across the world, uniting together as one and declaring we are the army of the Lord God Almighty. The gates of hell will not prevail because we choose righteousness over what this world can give us. Because we choose to be the army of God, I choose to walk in the calling that God has on my life.
That's it.
So from this scripture we learn that God gives us all things to enjoy. We are to be doing good. We are to be generous. And fourth level for us as Christians is being willing to share. Being willing to share. If I could have the keys player come up and join me right now. To be at the next level in who we are, we must be willing to share. Not so much in the context of giving this morning, but in sharing the load. Sharing the load. Carrying the vision of the house. Becoming a pillar in the house.
Yes.
Unmovable. Unshakable. We are all pillars of the house.
Right.
And I love the analogy that a pillar stands firm. Pillar doesn't run away under the weight. A pillar stays and remains strong in the kingdom of God. Because we are holding up on planet Earth the principles, the values, the Word of God, and the gospel of Jesus Christ and our saving love of Jesus Christ. We are pillars holding that up in the darkness that this world has all over it right now. We are pillars holding up the light of Jesus Christ. We need to be pillars in the house.
Awesome.
Jesus illustrates this using himself as an example in John 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. To do what God and what we are called to do, church, it requires you. Requires you. If you're new here today, it requires you. That's why you're here. God wants you to be a pillar in the house of God. Perhaps you're a senior in the house today. You need to know it requires you to remain, to stay strong, to keep speaking, to keep praying, to keep believing. You know, if you're a youth in the house today, we require you to be pillars for us. We require you to stir us up, to help shape us and grow us into the new ways of thinking. We require you. We need people willing to share, to speak the vision, to go after the dream, to carry the weight, and to care for people. So church today, let's live enjoying all that God has given us. Doing good and making a difference, giving generously, being locked in, committed to the vision, carrying some of the weight, and reflecting God's goodness. Amen? Amen. You with me, church? You receive it this morning in your life. There is truly treasure in the house of God. Amen. I love it. Absolutely love it. You know, before we move on with the service, and Pastor Rick's going to come up soon and take us through the proceedings of how today's going to look. But before we do that, I'd just love to pray right now for anybody that hasn't actually given their hearts to God yet. And you've been hearing this message and you really want to be part of something like this. You want to be part of world-changing stuff. You want your life to change and you want to help others change their worlds as well. And God wants to use you. And I just want you to know, first of all, that God just loves you so much. And God has you here today because He's calling you. He's calling you. Why don't you respond to Him this morning by giving Him your life and saying, God, you know, I'm a mess right now. Or God, I seem to have no purpose right now in my world. Or God, I just realize that my own ways aren't the way. And I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow the way. The one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come again. Jesus Christ. And if that's you this morning, church, as we all close our eyes. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to call you out the front. But if that's you this morning, you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you boldly lift your hand right now? Just so I know who I'm going to pray with this morning. So if that's you, I'm just going to look around once more. If you can just lift your hand, that'll be fantastic right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Church, while your eyes are closed, I'd just love to pray before we move on. Father God, thank you so much that we are already blessed this morning to give. Thank you that you've blessed us with the faith, Lord, to step out in what maybe what we can't yet hold in our hands, but we know you give seed to the soul. So, Father, as we activate faith, as we put on paper faith, as we walk up to these urns and place in them faith this morning, as we pin on this cross, Father, faith this morning. Father God, I just pray your word says that a mustard seed of faith can do amazing things, Lord God. So this morning we have a mustard seed and we're going to bring it to you and lay it at your feet. Father, I pray over this church that your power of your spirit would be upon us. Lord God, that you would bless, anoint every person here today. And that, Father, we have a little, but we know that as we give it to you, you will do amazing things, life-transforming things with it throughout the nations, throughout the church, and throughout our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Alrighty, well, I'm about to invite Pastor Rick up just after.